poem that we sometimes hear about of the footsteps, footprints in the sand. When I was going along and everything was good, we saw him walking right along beside us. Then it said, difficult times came. And as I looked back over those difficult times, I saw there was only one set of footprints in the sand. And asking the Lord, why did you leave me at that time is a critical time. He said, I didn't leave you. I picked you up and I carried you. And you know, we can see that in our own lives when difficult things happen, that he's in the midst. He will go with us. For several weeks, we have been talking about the desire for me in my own life to bear good fruit. Good fruit ends up being, it's the actions that come out of my life. It's the things that other people partake of, whether it's my words that I say to them or my actions of how I treat others. All of those things are people partaking of the fruit that comes out of my life. So I find it to be very valuable for me. And in looking at the world around me today, I have to realize, you know what? Every person alive is bearing some fruit, whether it's good or whether it's bad. When we listen to the news about the recent shootings in the last days, and I think, you know what? That shooting was fruit that came out of a person's life. And that fruit can be traced way back to thoughts. Thoughts begin to stay in a person's mind, and they go one way or another. You know what is so important? What they do with a thought that comes into their mind. It's real important to me today. When a thought is presented to my mind, the direction that I take it is very important. I may not see it as being very important right at this time, but that thought will keep on and it'll produce something. It produced something in these people's lives. So I've been mentioning last week about things that we can do that cause it to either, those thoughts to either grow or be killed out. And I thought of the two products that can be used on our plants. One of them is Miracle-Gro. One of them is Roundup. One of them will kill that thing out completely. Miracle-Gro will make it grow. You know what? It doesn't mean that Miracle-Gro always in every life is put on the right things. You know what? That person that did, those people in the past days that did the killing, if you were able to trace back their thoughts, there was at some time that they fed those thoughts. They put a little Miracle-Gro on it. When it would have been so nice if they would have been able to see at a time, you know what? I need to shut this thought down. I need to put some Roundup on this thing and kill it at the roots. And what a change it would be able to make. And in our own lives today, I see the importance of that happening. There are places in the scripture that tells me there's some places I need to put some Roundup on some things that come into my life. There's some things that I need to allow Miracle-Gro to come to. So I'd like to start with a verse. If we look at Colossians, the third chapter, sometime just take a look at this. This chapter tells us about things that we need to put on and things that we need to take off. And in the fifth verse, here's something that the roundup of God's word needs to put. It says, mortify therefore your members. Kill these things out of your life. And it tells us all of the things, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, and all of these things that we do. Put in the eighth verse, put off these, anger, wrath, malice. These are things that we're taking the word of God and we're saying, these thoughts that come into my mind are the beginning of what the produce will come from my life when it turns into an action. And so I want to be able to kill off those things that would head in these directions. Eighth verse, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. But then look, it didn't just stop there at the things that I need to kill out. It also comes on to, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed. And it says in the 12th verse, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness. What if that had been done in the lives of these people that made decisions in the last few days? Kindness, meekness, long-suffering, forgiving one another, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. How do we put on and feed some things, and how do we kill out some things? What I'd like to look at as a topic this morning is something that miracle grow in our life is very important, and that is the miracle grow of grace. When I look at three little words in the sixth chapter of Genesis, it says Noah found grace. Three words. He found something that puts a miracle grow in his life, helps some right things to grow. And what does grace mean? What definition would you put on grace? I've thought of it in the past. We've heard of it being just his favor of God to us, and nothing that we did to be able to ask for it. He owes it to us. But there are some other definitions that I want us to think about. Grace is God's divine influence in our life. You know what? Satan has an influence on people in their lives. God would like to quietly have influence in our own life. And another definition was God's power that is available for us today in our life. And you know where that power starts? When I want to have good fruit produced out of my life, the actions that I have, the words that I say, I want them to be pleasing. I want them to bring glory to God. It all moves back to when it becomes a thought, different thoughts that head in my mind, and to be able to control those. So I look at a couple verses. I'd like for us to look in Matthew. And we think about this as being salvation. Matthew, the 13th chapter. But I want to think about it this way also. 13 and 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure that's hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hides, and for joy thereof, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. I believe that's salvation in a person's life, but I'd also like for us to think about when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. For us to think about this, grace is also like treasure that's hid in a field. If I can just find grace to help me in my times of need, how valuable it is. And then also down in the 33rd chapter, in the 33rd verse of that, he said, another parable spake he to them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened. I want us to think of grace as being like that leaven. When you put it in there, there's not a chemical explosion. Something just blows up because it's got grace applied to it. But instead, it's like this leaven that is put in meal, about to make bread, and it just starts permeating throughout it all. I was looking at that word, permeate. To penetrate or pass through a substance without rupture or displacement of its parts. Grace is not some big outward explosion. It's just something quietly working in my life to bring about an effect. If you poured water on sand, it permeates. There's no big noise. There's no big, like a something big about it. It just permeates through it. Grace is like that for us. It's like leaven that can come into my life. It can permeate my thoughts. It can help me with my thoughts. My thoughts are what will soon become an action, whichever way I allow it to be. We sing a song sometimes, not like waves upon the ocean, tossing wildly, rolling high, or the tempest's great commotion as it sweeps across the sky, but like twilight gently stealing, or the verdant shady lee, so the holy saints in Zion rest from all their sin set free. We just sang that song a while ago. We are kept by the power of God, by trusting, by obeying, by watching and praying. We're kept by the power of God. And I'm thankful that no matter what comes into our life, there is grace available for us. I'd like to look at a couple pictures in Psalms. And we've looked at this for several times in the past weeks, because this is a good example of fruit that comes out of a life. Psalms 1 and 1, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And often I stop just with that second verse about the meditations that he has, and that's a good place. But there's something else that I want us to look at. That third verse is also very valuable. This is the benefit that he gets in those meditations by controlling his thinking. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm glad for that. In a day and time that we're living in, we can be able to have grace to help us throughout those times. In Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, and in the 7th verse is another little picture like that. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from bearing fruit. When things that would normally happen in my life, that there's no fruit bearing for someone else to be able to partake of, I can live in a place to where when dry seasons come, when all around us gives away, God can still be there with us. The value of this treasure hid in the field, that leaven that works throughout our life, is proven the most when heat is applied. When trouble comes to our life, you know what? All of us, the whole world over, we have pretty much peace when everything is going good. But the fruit that comes out of my life when I'm having trouble come to me, and God's grace is available for us. We have another song. When storms of life are raging, tempests wild on sea and land, you know, that's where I need some grace to flow in. I'm going to seek a place of refuge in the shadow of God's hand. He will hide me where no harm can ever betide me. That's not something that I got a strong makeup about me to be able to handle storms that come into my life. It's about me taking a part of the grace of God that he has available for us. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What were conditions when Noah found grace? Everybody around him was having camp meetings too, and it just life was so good. What does it say about that in Genesis 6 and 5? It said the imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And yet, in the middle of all that chaos, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's an encouragement to me, because we're living in some pretty dark times around us, and we can still today find grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, those folks in Noah's time were putting Miracle-Gro on something. They were feeding this, what does it say? The imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually, and they fed it, and it grew. You know what? If we feed thoughts that come into our mind, good or bad, they're going to grow. There is a song, we are sowing every day seeds, both good, either good or bad. And each one is surely growing. It's either cheering souls or it's making them sad. The thoughts that come into my mind and what I do with those, right in the middle of that, with all wickedness all around Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's another song, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. My own ability to do right things is sinking sand without the grace of God in my life. It says, when he shall come, you know, we sang that song about making heaven our home. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. And that is not from anything that I've been able to do on my own. It's me availing myself of the grace of God in my life. Noah received instruction about building the ark, and then he just quietly went to work about it. And I believe that it wasn't just God came one day, gave him the dimensions, and he never saw him or had any influence from him again for 100 years. I believe God gave him instructions, and then that quiet influence encouraged him every day. Keep on building. It says there's a couple places after the instruction was given. Thus did Noah. Took the instructions and he started on it. And then it says Noah did all that the Lord commanded. I find a lot of similarities in him and us today. We have been given instruction of how to build our life to be able to make heaven our home. And no matter what's happening around us, all the chaos that's happening, that would like for us to turn our attention to it, for me to just keep on building my life. What I know the Lord wants, I build that day by day. You know, did Noah know at the beginning, did God tell him, Noah, this is going to take you over 100 years to build. Now get started. You know, when Moses was told to lead the people, when he came to the burning bush there and God started talking to him and said, here's what I want you to do, Moses. You remember Moses started looking at his inabilities and he resisted at first. I can't do this. I'm not able to do it. I look at the difference of Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He just quietly accepted the plan. And I have a feeling he sought for God's strength day by day to help him to be able to fulfill it. You know, something we don't think about very often, when he was given instruction to build this boat, there's a flood coming. He didn't even know what a flood is. It's going to rain so much that you're going to need this boat. He had never seen it rain. And yet by faith, he took what God told him, you need to build this boat. And he built it day by day. And I believe he did it by the grace of God. There's a verse that I want us to remember also for ourselves. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and in the 5th verse. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Did Noah say, I tell you what, he picked me out because I know how to do some building. You know what? He picked him out because Noah could be trusted to follow his instruction. You remember the instruction that God gave him? I want you to build it out of this kind of wood. I want you to build it this length. I want you to build it this height. I want you to put this size window in it. Thus did Noah, according to all that the Lord told him. And for me today, to build my life according to the word of the Lord. Just no matter if the world around us says you can do it this way or that way, that I do like Noah did. I find grace in the eyes of the Lord, and I start building, and I follow it through. There are some secrets. We've heard about the grace of God in our last two Sunday school classes. And what are the secrets to being able to have this flow of grace coming into my life? And what can cause me to lose that flow? There is a verse over in 1 Peter 5 and 5. Because you know this last verse that we said, our sufficiency comes from God. It doesn't come from us. In 5 and 5 it says, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For me to be able to have this flow of grace coming into my life to help me with the things that I have, that I face each day, I need to be clothed with humility. The humility that tells God, Lord, without you, I can't do anything. You remember Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But then Paul came back with a response, I can do all things. Was that pride? No, because he didn't stop with that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I believe we can do the same thing. I think what God wants us to do is to come to him and say, Lord, I'm not sufficient in myself to be able to make it. I need your help. I need your leaven to come into my life and permeate my thoughts, permeate my actions, that they all would be pleasing in your sight. God resisteth the proud. You know, when I come to the place that I know now how to do it, I can do it on my own. What does it say? I don't frustrate the grace of God. I don't stop the flow of it up. This is one of the things that can stop it up. He resists the proud, but he will give grace to the humble. There's a song that we sing, "Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? These for sin cannot atone." There's nothing that I can do to atone for sin. Thou must save, and thou alone. Here's another verse that I need to always remember. In Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and in the 8th verse. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." I cannot do anything of my own separated from God to be able to make heaven my home. "By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves." It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You remember the parable that Jesus gave about the publican and the sinner? When he came in, and one man, he's got a good prayer. "I fast twice in the week. I do a lot of real good things." The other man just said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And it said, this man went to his home justified. I think what I need to get from that is our sufficiency comes from God. But he has got grace for us in any time of trouble. I found this song last week because sometimes we can think, with the wickedness that's in the world around us, is grace going to run out? This song said, "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace." And it says, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed and the day is just half done. You know, in myself, I run out before the sun goes down if I were just relying on my own strength. When we have exhausted our store of endurance. You remember the song, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." But you know, I can get a little list of things that I think I can take care of on my own, because they seem like small things and I can handle them on my own. What does it say? "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." You know, I think it'd be a good thing for me to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need your grace in my life today. Whether it seems like everything is going fine for me or not, I need his grace." Another verse says, "When we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun." It says, "Fear not that thy need will exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting availing. The Lord both thee and thy load will upbear." Think about those footsteps in the sand. There'll come a time when it's tough enough, he'll just pick us up and carry us with our load if we'll bring it to him. Then it says, "His love has no limits. His grace has no measure." There's not a place where grace will run out. The only thing that'll stop his grace is if something comes in the way to stop that flow in my life. "His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. Out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." So this next week, this next year, whatever comes into your life, go to the Lord and tell him, "Lord, I need your help. I need the grace that you gave to Noah." He found grace. It wasn't something that just came to him without him asking for it. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Another song we sang, "I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need." But you know, most songs and most scriptures will have something that I need to do. "While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free. Yes, free indeed." Is grace elusive? It's always trying to hide from us, and I'm always trying to find it. What does it say? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. I believe that is in Hebrews 4th chapter. He gives us the privilege of coming to him. 4 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find the grace that we need in our times of need. I am thankful for that. There is something that I saw over in Acts in the 17th chapter while Paul was talking to the people at Athens. He was trying to describe God to them. And in 17 and 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. I want to think about that with salvation, and I also want to think about that about the grace that is available for us today. He's not trying to hide it from us. It's just that I need to be seeking for it. What does it say in Matthew 7? Matthew 7 and 7. I believe this is important for us for grace. Ask, and it shall be given you. What happens in our asking, Lord, I need your grace in my life? It is me telling him I don't have the ability. Let us therefore come boldly, but humbly before God. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And then there's this little picture in Luke, the 11th chapter. You remember where the man, he had a visitor come to him, and he didn't have the food that he needed to be able to give him. Fifth verse, he said unto them, which of you have a friend, and a go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I don't have anything to set before him. And he says, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Be able to just, Lord, I need your help. I need your grace to be able to help me in this time of need. Is there a chance that the world will become so wicked that God's grace for us will run out? I love the verse in Romans 5 and 20. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. As things get more and more wicked, we find in the news more and more things happening, and we wonder, what does the future hold? Just remember that verse, where sin abounds, grace will always stay ahead of it. It will always have more supply for us. And then there's another verse. When we have spiritual success, can we credit any of that to ourselves? I've been able to live in a life to where God just answers my prayers. There's something about me that does that. Paul had a connection with God, but what did he say in it? 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. If there has ever been anything good to come from my life, it's because his grace came in and filled that area. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I'd like for us to close with a song in our book, number 58. And there was a little piece that stood out to me. The last verse of number 58. All of his grace is just as free as the air we breathe. Some of us might be able to get some. We may each have a full supply. And then here goes this condition again. If we will obey and his word believe, he will prepare us to dwell on high. His grace is just as free. You know, we don't worry about the next breath that I breathe. Is there going to be enough air? There's so many people sucking up oxygen, breathing this air. Is there enough for me another breath? I don't ever think about it. You can take another breath. God's got enough for all of us. And then this one says, his grace is just that free. like the air we breathe. We may each have a full supply if we will obey and his word believe. He's going to prepare us to dwell on high. You know, I love the thought that we can be once saved and always saved. It was the plan of God. But you know what? I'm not going to be able to have sufficiency in myself to make it. I'm going to need the grace of God working through me day by day, being able to show me, Dan, this thought right here, you need to pour some Roundup on it. Because, you know, sometimes I can have a thought head in a direction. I have done it before. I have looked at somebody that I said, you know what, they need me to tell them something. They're running into trouble in their life. Maybe it's trouble between two people, and I decide I'm going to be a peacemaker. I'm going to step in here and tell them some things. And then when I get finished with it, I'm reminded of the scripture that says, a man that gets in and meddles with strife that doesn't belong to him, he's like taking a dog by the ears. You're going to get bit. You're going to have some trouble before it's over. But you know what? If I would go to the Lord and say, Lord, in my decisions that I'm making, would you guide my thoughts? Help me to know before, you know, I can go down the road to the end of it and be able to know, you know what? I wish I'd have changed that thought way back there. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about just things that will bring trouble in my life. And to be able to say, Lord, I tell you what, I would like for your grace to flow to me. Just flowing and quietly flowing into my life, not like an ocean raging, but just like that leaven, just infiltrating my life, and out of it is guaranteed to have good fruit. Maybe we could stand and sing that number 58. And let's go home from here today and remember, you know what? He's got more grace than the air we breathe. His grace is as free as the air we breathe. We may each have a full supply. I'm thankful for that. May the Lord help us.